My scripture text for the message this evening is taken from Psalm 23, verse 6, where David writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the title of my message is Thinking of Our Eternal Home, and also, as a second part, Heaven on Earth, the church which we attend and are blessed by God in. So thinking of our eternal home is the main theme of my message. In Psalm 23, we see David looking to the loving provision and protection of his Lord, of his Savior. He sees his Lord as a shepherd. And so he likens all the good things that a shepherd would do for his sheep. He knows he himself in his soul wants for nothing. He is safely kept in spiritual green pastures and led by the cool streams of spiritually refreshing waters, pure waters. He has this as his blessing, as his provision by his shepherd. His soul is restored to fellowship with God. And he is led in the paths of righteousness, which brings glory to his God and joy to his own soul. As David walks through this life, through the valley of the shadow of death, he is confident that he has nothing to fear. He is justified by his Savior. He looked forward to the promises made in Scripture to the Savior to come, great David's greater son, who would come to die on Calvary. He saw his Savior in the future, and he saw him as his loving shepherd. He saw God's chastising rod as a comfort to him as he walks closely with his God. Do we look for that? Do we look at the chastising rod of our God to be a blessing to us? Well, it is, because it will keep us close to God through conviction of sins. He walks in repentance and faith, and we know that the scripture is very honest to the life of David, where he fell, he sinned, he lost his way, and how he found peace and rest. His heart's cry was, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He asked the Lord to cleanse him from his sin. And he knew that the Lord had done that. So he saw the shepherd caring for his soul. He knew that he had enemies who would seek him dead, and the enemy of his soul, Satan, who would want him to sin, to break God's law, and then to accuse him, saying, "You're a sinner. You have broken God's law. You must take the consequences of that." But Satan has forgotten the gospel. He doesn't know it. Do you know it? Jesus Christ coming from the glories of heaven to this earth to live as a man, a perfect man, Emmanuel, God with us, and yet no sin. But he went to the cross. And he gladly agreed to that covenant agreement made with the Father and the Holy Spirit in eternity past, before time, how it was agreed that Christ should come and die upon that cross to bear the sin of his people, his God's chosen ones. So his confidence is in the Lord, and he sees that the Lord has prepared a table in his presence, in God's presence, in David's presence, and even in the presence of his enemies. You know, our enemies cannot succeed over us. Satan cannot succeed over us when we have the Lord as our shepherd and guide and protector. So he has that confidence in that prepared table, and he is anointed with the Holy Spirit, such that his cup of peace and joy overflows. Do you have joy overflowing in your heart? Can you say, Christ is my Savior? I have nothing to fear, no one to fear. David is heading towards the last verse, which we'll think of in more detail in a moment, how he will spend time forever in the glory of the Lord in eternity. So he is anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that his cup of peace and joy overflows. And this brings us to verse 6, our text. He has a sure and certain hope that God will preserve his soul throughout his life. Surely, he says, surely the Lord has a place for me for eternity, eternal heaven, to finally dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This was David's anticipation while here on earth, and it should be ours too. So David's expectation for eternity was not in the sheepfold, in the wilderness, but in the house of the Lord, the tabernacle. Now we know that Solomon's temple was not yet built, but David, they had the tabernacle given to Moses and to Joshua to be built as they journeyed through the wilderness and through to the promised land. And there it was established. It was a place of worship, a place where God would dwell in their presence, in their midst. And how David could go into the house of the Lord, the tabernacle, and have fellowship with his God, with his sins forgiven, for that was very necessary. He could not go in presumptuously without true repentance and faith, nor can we come to church or to Christ with presumptuous sins. We need to examine our own hearts as David did. So David saw the tabernacle as the dwelling place of God, the family residence of the Father of Mercies, along with where he met his beloved children. So let us know the Lord as our Savior and join David and all the saints in this wonderful experience that is yet to come. So in that house set aside for worship, we shall have all our holy desires gratified, all our sincere prayers answered, and our highest spiritual expectations more than realized. There in that house we shall dwell in peace, united to all the other saints, and enjoying the fellowship of all the ransomed brethren. All friendship will be unchangeable, and our friendship will be perpetual and pure. A friendship with Christ, a friendship with all other believers who will be in that holy place. There we shall dwell and worship the Lord our God, and our worship will be spiritual, pure, and perfect. Now we need help with that. We cannot do this ourselves. We need the help of God, the Holy Spirit, to turn us from our formal religion, to turn us from our weakness and our sinfulness, to worship him in spirit and in truth, as the scriptures teach. There we shall dwell and obey the Lord our God, and our obedience will be perfect, hearty, and perpetual, far better than our obedience now. We fall, we're tempted, we slip away, we fall back, we backslide while here on earth. But in heaven, all that will be done away with. All that will be ended. It will be finished. The finished work of Christ will show itself in our eternal salvation and blessed fellowship with our Savior and other saints. So there we shall dwell and rest in the Lord our God, and our rest will be sweet, refreshing, and satisfying, all that the soul needs. David has spoken of being led into the green pastures, the spiritual green pastures, the spiritual pure waters, the living waters. So there will be sweet, refreshing, and satisfying blessings. There will be no wilderness storms there. There will be no cruel, crafty, malignant foes there. O glorious prospect, O sweet anticipation. Is this your personal anticipation? Do you have a hope, a sure hope, as David did? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. No doubt in David's mind, for he believed in his sovereign God to save him and keep him. Do you? Is your God sovereign? He is declared to us in Scripture as being sovereign in creation, in providence, and in redemption, in salvation. Our God is sovereign in every aspect of life. Christ promised, you know, in those lovely chapters, John 14 to John 17, and he begins John 14, verses 1 to 3, he promised that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he tells us that there is. He doesn't leave it to our imagination or to our guesswork. He assures us that in his Father's house in heaven, there are many mansions. Now, how many are there? How many mansions are there? Well, there's a mansion for every believer, every one of the elect, everyone for whom Christ died will have a mansion. There will not be one person who is saved who does not have a mansion in heaven. Christ has promised, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking to his close disciples at this time, before he went to Gethsemane and on to Calvary. He's promising to be with them, to come back to be with them. Although he will die that awful death upon the cross of Calvary, he will rise again the third day. And he did. He was met by many. And it said, should not Christ have risen on the third day, as it was spoken of him? Yes, he completed that work upon Calvary's cross. And so there will be many mansions to be occupied. There will not be one mansion, as I have said, empty. Christ will have not prepared a mansion for anyone who maybe believed, but now doesn't anymore. God doesn't allow that. We have the beautiful doctrines of grace. We have the irresistible calling, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring everyone for whom Christ died to a full realization of their sinfulness and of their need of cleansing and washing and of their forgiveness. Is this your experience? Is this your hope? Sure and certain hope? I don't mean I hope so. I mean I know so. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David had complete confidence in this as he looked forward to the coming of Christ. And Christ, when he was on earth, spoke to us these lovely words in John 14. Everyone who is beloved and chosen of the Father, the elect, they will be occupied by everyone for whom Christ as Savior became a substitute and sacrifice. By everyone ever born of the Spirit, all will be there. No mansion will be empty, and no one will be without a mansion. We are assured of this. Christ has promised. He cannot break his promise. He is sovereign God, the Son. So all God's children shall be there, not one of them lost. All the elect, those he has adopted into his family. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I trust that you don't just believe in God, but you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've sung that hymn. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So, I encourage you to read John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. Those beautiful, comforting words where Christ makes many promises which he will keep. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can agree with David on that. There, the Eternal Father will be surrounded by and enjoy the company of all his happy family. Yes, happy, because they know their sins are forgiven. There is no more sin, death, or hell, or the grave, or Satan, or enemies, or foes in heaven. All dealt with by Christ. We struggle with those now. There is a battle going on. But the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our guide. The Lord is the one who has promised to see us through these circumstances with joy and happiness. The Eternal Father will be surrounded by and enjoy the company of his happy family and those he has set his unconditional electing love upon in eternity past. We've discussed that just now. There the glorious Saviour will see of the travail of his soul and be fully satisfied, forever satisfied, fulfilling that beautiful prophecy in Isaiah 53, where the Saviour was put up as that Saviour who would see the travail of his soul. And what a travail of soul it was. He, the perfect one, was tainted with our sin. Not that he sinned, but he felt the guilt of our sin. He felt it, he had to, in order to be punished, as if he had sinned, but he did not. That was for you, if you will come and trust in him. Do you? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Is he your shepherd and the provider of your eternal hope in heaven? It is here in the heaven that the Holy Spirit will fill his temples. We are his temple. He filled the temple, the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle and in the temple of Solomon, the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, where the high priest went in, not without sacrifice. He went in with shed blood. And how beautiful it was that he had bells on his robes, that the people could hear him moving. If these bells stopped ringing, there would be fear that his present representation for them as the high priest had not been accepted, that the high priest would be dead, not accepted. But they heard the bells and they heard him return. And so their souls have been presented by the high priest. What a greater high priest we have in Jesus Christ, who presents us at the throne of grace when he rose again from the dead and returned into heaven, into the glory that he came from. He made known to us the throne of grace, that place where we can come bowed in heart, bowed in spirit, souls under conviction of sin. Have you come to this throne? It is a mighty throne. It is the one on which the Savior sits. The Savior there is our representative. He presents us to the Father. If we have come sincerely and found his forgiveness, he presents us to the Father without spot or blemish, without sin. Do you realize that? That Christ presents us to the Father. And what's more, the Father accepts whom the Savior presents to him, his elect, those for whom he died. Sin cannot be punished twice. God is faithful and trustworthy in his promise. He will either punish it on us if we reject, refuse, and have to stand in that judgment day of Christ, when it will be said to us these awful, terrible words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Do you claim to know Christ? Does he know you? Are you his? Or, as we thought, the opposite, he will say, "Come into eternal glory. Come in to be with me forever. Experience this joyous hope and surety that David had. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So, may we then say with the psalmist again, Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forever." When I was first converted at the age of 13 in September, that will be 70 years ago, and the Lord has led me all through this time. And he put a song of joy in my heart. In those days, even though I knew little of the doctrines, I did not know at that time the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of election and salvation. I knew that a Savior had died for me. I believed that. But I needed to come deeper into the truth of God. And the Lord, by the time I was 23, just married, he brought me to know and understand the doctrines of grace, those we in this church hold dear and stand upon as being the truth of the living God, as declared in the scripture to us. So the psalmist says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Pleasures forevermore. No more sin, no more death, no more Satan, no more foes. A beautiful place to be, heaven to come. So let us often think of our eternal home. It will help us live this life. This vain world is not our rest. Here on earth, we have no continuing city. Abraham looked by faith, that faith given him of God, for a city with foundations whose builder was God. We read in our reading, Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundations and whose maker is God." So, sorry, I referred to that chapter that we didn't read. We read chapter 10. But we look into chapter 11 and we see the faith of Abraham looking for that foundation, a foundation whose builder and founder is God. And God gave Abraham that faith, just as he gives true believers faith now. So we need true faith, otherwise we are not a true believer. Our eternal home, the home of the believer's heart, is in heaven. This is where Jesus is, where Jesus reigns, where love is perfect, where there is always a full tide of joy, where there is no more sin, illness, pain, or death, where God displays all his glory, where grace satisfies the utmost desires of every renewed soul. Here on earth, we have a weight of sin. In heaven, we shall have a weight of glory. Thomas Watson, that divine, said, "Affliction may be lasting, but not everlasting." We will be without everlasting affliction when we know the Lord. So, going back to our text, Psalm 23, verse 6, "Is David's certain hope and expectation yours? Let us test our sincerity. The church is our heaven on earth. Our church at EDT is God's local provision for our heaven on earth. A local church established by God for us to meet with him and praise, worship, and serve him. For us to have fellowship with him and each other. Heaven on earth. I'm sure that you will want to be in heaven all the time. No looking back, as Lot's wife did. We read in our second scripture reading in Hebrews 10:25 that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching, the end of time. We are now to live by not forsaking the joining of ourselves together. So there are two groups, one which assembled together in unity of purpose, and those who did not. Now, the things I'm going to say now, you may say, well, you must have been talking to Mr. Cain, who brought this into his sermon this morning, about not hardening our hearts, that we would attend all the services we possibly can. There are legitimate reasons for not attending, and I'll go into those in a moment. But now, we did not confer. This is in my message tonight. But what we both did was we prayed for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and help us to bring a message, and a message of application, and a message of challenge. So Mr. Cain was moved by the Spirit this morning to stir us up to better attendance with a willing heart, a joyful heart in the house of the Lord. And I bring the same encouragement and even challenge to you. So we are not to forsake our assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is. At EDT, we have several services. On the Lord's Day, we have the 11 a.m. gospel service, and at 6 p.m., the teaching service. On Mondays, we have our prayer meeting at 7:30, and on Wednesday, our Bible study, also at 7:30. Now, how many of these do you regularly attend? Now, before we go into that, there may be perfectly acceptable reasons for not attending a meeting. These can include ill health. You can't come if you're ill. We appreciate that. It may be that you're quite old, and some of our old folk do come more than once on the Lord's Day, but some don't. And their age maybe is getting the better of them. We may be on holiday. We thank the Lord for the chance to take some different scenery. And we can't be here if we are on holiday. But do we find, if we can, a local church to attend that would be a blessing to our soul? There may be essential work that we have to follow. Our jobs may include working on the Lord's Day. But I would challenge, if you could change your job so that you don't have to work on the Lord's Day, how much better that would be. That would take away this reason for not being here. A valid reason, but we can remove it if we can find a different job. There are family commitments, looking after little children. Some are able to bring their children to both services. Others, especially when they're very young, maybe have to stay home with them. So there are family commitments. We have the difficulty of children in rebellion, teenagers, who won't come. But I would challenge all parents. Did you set a bad example? Did you stay away too easily when you could have come? And now the children look at you and say, your testimony is not real, it's not strong. You have chosen not to go when you could have gone, but you stayed home. So it's important that we lead by example and don't give in to that too easily. Some have difficulty with travel. We have one dear man who's joined with us. It takes him too long to get here to be able to come back in the evening. or after work in the week. And we understand that. And we trust he joins with us online. But it's lovely to have him with us. But it is possible that our distance from a good local church is a little too far to be able to come morning and evening, Mondays and Wednesdays. So, the other thing we should do is to join a local church as members. This is not an option. It is a principle. Many have done that just recently. We've had quite a few who have now come through with baptism, with testimonies, and with application for church membership. And that is the right thing to do. The Lord will bless you. We'll bless that. But obviously, there's a greater commitment once you've become a member of this church to be here as often as you can. So again, I say I did not collude with Mr. Kane, who preached on this morning as one of his application points. We both pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us in what we would say. So it seems that the Holy Spirit wants us to air this message in our hearing tonight as well as this morning. If you miss because you have a lack of desire, this is not applying the principle of copying our desire for heaven. You may claim to have a testimony. You may be looking forward, as David did. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, if that is our true desire, then we shouldn't have any qualms about attending the local church as often as possible. Let us not show that the importance we hold on eternal glory is not important to us. So we have the benefit of technology today. It is a great encouragement that we have our live YouTube broadcasts so that if we have to, we can stay home and join from a distance. But this is the second best. It is not meeting to have the fellowship, which is part of worship. It is for those who have an acceptable reason to miss attending the service in person. So there may be some at home tonight who are listening on live broadcast who actually could be here. Is their desire lacking? I leave that with them. The Lord will challenge. So if we all took this attitude of staying home, I would be preaching to empty seats. Nobody would be here if everyone took the attitude, it doesn't matter where I am. I can stay away and use the technology to join. It's when we have a real reason, a reason which God knows we hold in our hearts as being a proper reason, an acceptable reason. He is merciful. He is forgiving. He will forgive us if we stray in this area, but he would want us to come and to join with us. Now, we are coming up to a very busy time in our church when in the middle of the week, especially in the Dalesdown week, we look for a blessing upon our youngsters who will go away with churches from Peterborough, from Chichester, and from Ashford. But there will most of our workers who come to these meetings will be there serving the Lord. I will be here, as part of my role as deacon is to hold the fort, as it were. And so I shall be here leading a prayer meeting. I want you to come if you can, if you're not involved in Dalesdown. I want you to come. You may not be able to pray out loud, but you can say amen. Come on the Wednesday. Will I be preparing a message for Wednesday? It will be a shorter one. But will I be preparing a message for Wednesday in vain? No. I want you to come. We want you to come to join in whilst the majority are away. If we take a low view on attending ourselves, our testimony and our invitation to others to come will be challenged. Imagine, you've invited somebody to come along. They don't come the week you intend, but the next week they come, but you're not here when you could have been. I'm not talking about being away because of the valid, acceptable reasons. I'm talking about a lack of consistent desire. So our testimony can be spoilt, and those people may not come again. Now, we know they're in the sovereign hand of the living God, but we have a responsibility not to lead them into error. So what would our children think if we don't come? I've already spoken on this. Parents, have you set a good example? If you haven't, start now. Decide to be here. Encourage your youngsters to be here. Speak to them about what was said in the message. Help them to understand the importance of understanding that message. So I ask you to examine your own heart. Have I a valid reason for not being present in person tonight or on any of the given meetings? We've spoken of ill health, age, holiday, essential work, family commitments, difficulty with travel, etc. But may I encourage you to attend every service whenever possible? Surely, if you are a true believer, you have the expectation of being in God's eternal heaven. Let us therefore endeavor to have the same desire to attend all the services that we can, to the blessing of our souls, the blessing of other souls, our heaven on earth, that joyous experience before we get to that greater joyous experience. So I leave you our texts, Psalm 23, verse 6, and Hebrews 10, 25. I'll leave these with you for prayerful consideration. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forsake not assembling yourselves together, as some do in Hebrews. Let us enjoy heaven on earth as we look forward to eternally enjoying heaven with the Lord forever. Amen.